Our opening hymn today, To God Be the Glory, was written by Fanny Crosby and the tune by William Howard Dunn, first published in 1875. Over time, this hymn has remained used in every denomination in the Western world, and it became increasingly popular due to its use in the Billy Graham Crusades. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Let us pray together, please. We come before you, our loving, eternal God, in thankfulness for your love for us. We continue to be amazed that you would love us, that in our imperfections you allowed your precious, sinless, perfect Son to take upon himself our sin, that we can inherit eternity with you. There cannot be greater love than love which is given, which is undeserved. So we marvel at your love for us. And though through the years our love for you, dear God, continues to grow as we recognise how your love for us impacts on every part of our lives, we realise that without you, our lives would be but a shadow of what it can be with you. Seeing the difference your love means to us, teach us, we pray, how to love others as you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, as we listen to Croydon Citadel Salvation Army songsters singing, Father, we love you, let God's love fill us with the desire to share his love with others.
The reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
The Brass Band selection by Love Compelled was written by Lieutenant Colonel Ray Steadman Allen, who himself writes these introductory words. Under the compulsion of God's love, men seek and receive divine forgiveness. This thought is demonstrated in two songs, O Saviour, I Am Coming, and Take All My Sins Away. The sequel, Desire for Consecration and Service, finds its expression in the chorus, All My Days and All My Hours. The Brass Band selection by Love Compelled. God's tithes and our offerings. In a world where there is so much need, it can be overwhelming knowing how we can help to improve the various situations. For Christians, our belief is that God is omnipotent, and if we can find ways of persuading people to acknowledge his ways, circumstances can change for the better. Our financial giving, therefore, is best assigned to wherever the gospel of Jesus is shared. May I suggest that you allocate your financial giving to where you sense God is guiding you, to church or ministry, so that God's ways rather than man's are being sought. And on behalf of church or ministry, allow me, please, to thank you for your giving. The hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, was written by Martin Ringart, who was born at Eidelenburg on April the 23rd, 1586. After passing through the Latin school, he became, in November 1601, a foundation scholar and chorister of the St. Thomas's School at Leipzig. The words were translated into English by Catherine Winkworth, who was born in England in 1827, and she's well known for her English translations of German hymns and was a pioneer in promoting women's rights. The tune, Nun Danket, was composed by Johann Kruger, who studied theology at the University of Wittenberg. He moved to Berlin in 1615, where he published music for the rest of his life. Now thank we all our God. We have now Love Lifted Me, sung by a male voice chorus. The composers were James Rowe and Howard Smith. James Rowe was born in Ireland and worked for the Irish government before emigrating to the USA at the age of 24. Rowe was the son of a copper miner. Once he arrived in the States, he worked for the railroads in Albany in New York State for 10 years. And in later years, Rowe worked in the music publishing industry. Before Rowe's death, he moved to Vermont, where he and his daughter wrote greeting card verses. The Hymn Time Company website offers the following quote from Rowe's daughter regarding the most famous song he penned, Love Lifted Me. She described the composer, Howard Smith, who wrote the music for the song, as Rowe described it to him. Howard E. Smith was a little man whose hands were so knotted with arthritis that you would wonder how he could use them at all, much less play the piano. I can see them now. My father, that's James Rowe, striding up and down, humming a bar or two, and Howard E. playing it and jotting it down. Love lifted me. We have now a setting by John Steiner of For God So Loved the World, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Taken, of course, from John 3:16. It's sung by the St. Paul's Cathedral in London. A vocal solo now, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Our soloist is Sandra Enterman, who lives in Australia. I'm so grateful for her permission to use her songs on our website. I have so much admiration for her ability, but also for the Christian commitment she has. She has a worldwide vocal ministry, and her ability to bless people is truly remarkable. Today she sings, How Deep is the Father's Love for Us, a song by Stuart Townend.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers.
I continue here with last month's comments on 1 Corinthians 13, often simply called the love chapter. We're told that love takes no pleasure in evildoing. That includes not taking delight in doing wrong, but also taking pleasure in hearing about the failings of others. It's a curious fact of human nature that one seems to rather hear about the bad than the good. Someone cynically said, perhaps it has a grain of truth in it, that a newspaper full of good news would never sell. Christian love prefers the absence of malice, which takes pleasure in the ill report so commonly bandied about without a care for the hurt it causes. The statement that love rejoices with the truth may sound very obvious for the Christian, but it's perhaps a more demanding statement than it may at first appear. We may not actively reveal the kind of truth which reveals the mistakes of others, but there is an un-Christ-likeness when we're not that disappointed if the mistakes about others happen to dribble out. For the Christian, it is something we must guard against. Love can endure anything. It waits hopefully, and when disappointed, holds to that hope. Four times in verse 7, Paul uses the word all. Love has the power to do everything that cannot be done without it. With it, disillusionment or bitterness are no match for it. What a difference in churches there could be if people who are carrying life's burdens through the circumstances have come their way are loved back into the fellowship, and it's done without the condescension which is all too often meted out to those who haven't measured up to our standards. Paul makes it clear in the first three verses that no gifts are enough if love is absent. It's quite a thought, isn't it, that the most gifted amongst us cannot accomplish all we could if love is added to our gifts. Those who have known the sadness of rejection might well be impressed by the evidence of an accomplished person's ability, but when only their giftedness is on show, the one thing they need more than any other is love. We often hear church members say they don't have any gifts and they are in awe of those who can do things. How they need to accept that someone coming into their church or an existing member wants the ministry of the gift of God's love in those who welcome them in. There is, of course, a place for the lovely gifts of God. To name but one, music has a way of lifting one's spirit. But, like all other gifts, it is limited in its effect, whereas love is unlimited and accomplishes what all other gifts combined cannot achieve. To be like Jesus is love first, whatever other gifts may be added. Paul stresses three final things about love. He says love will still be there when everything else that man glories has passed away. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7, are the words, "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it." Accepting the eternal quality of love reassures a person of God's promise of eternity. Paul also stresses the completeness of love. We may know a lot about things in the Christian way of life, but there'll come a day when, at the end of a life expressing and sharing love, all things will be revealed. Great though faith is, love is greater. Faith without love is cold, and hope without love is so empty. Love enables all other gifts to be used to reveal Jesus. Love is not only the greatest need for the Corinthians, it is our greatest need. So much of this we may have heard many times, but reading the words again, Perhaps we can realise just what our place of worship can be if all we do is expressed in the love which Paul says is indispensable if we are intent on revealing Jesus. There need not be a single person who attends a church who leaves after the service, yes, having been blessed by the music, yet not having felt loved. I remember a lady who had passed through a very difficult divorce, and heartbroken, she continued to attend her place of worship. She said she found she couldn't sing the words, "Jesus, thou art everything to me," because she wasn't feeling the love of God in those around her. People sympathised with her, but she wanted to be loved, to see in the congregation Jesus reaching out to her. But as we know, people are so busy, so involved with their own families, their employment takes their time. How we need to understand that the love of God in us enables us to meet the needs in ways we cannot. Dear friends, that kind of love is not something like an extension of sympathy. It is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It is the gift which would enable us to meet the needs of the lady I mentioned above in a way we could not otherwise. It is the gift that empowers our words, enables us to reveal that even the lost human love cannot compare with the fullness of God's love. There are so many in our churches who are in need of receiving that kind of love, love that can miraculously meet needs which cannot be met in any other way, that through that love in us, which God gives to us through the Holy Spirit. I wonder if someone in your place of worship is coming to mind as I share these words. And perhaps you wonder what you can possibly do in the circumstances. In human terms, you recognise your limitations. The wonderful news is, once you receive the kind of love God gives you through His Holy Spirit, you can meet the needs of people in a way you could not otherwise do. I have met some people who are obviously caring people and would be fairly described as having a heart of gold, but God's love, which is given to us, enables us to go further, so much further than sharing our human care. Every Christian in every church needs that gift, because there are people in every church who cannot be reached by human care alone. Just now, there are those desperately needing the kind of love which human love is not meeting. However well-meaning our intentions are, only the love of God will suffice. Dear friend, will you recognise the needs which can be met only by God's love in you? And will you receive it as the Holy Spirit's gift to you? As we hear these few words of a prayer written by Pavel Chesnikov, "Let your Holy Spirit come upon us. Hallelujah." May the love of God fill you so that you may minister in the power of that love. In Jesus' precious name, I pray this for you. Amen. Here now is a piece of choral music which is new to me, but I felt really blessed by hearing it. It's a simple prayer of just a few words. "Let thy Holy Spirit come upon us. Hallelujah." It was written by Pavel Chesnikov, who was an Imperial Russian and Soviet composer, choral conductor and teacher. He composed over 500 choral works, over 400 of which are sacred. He was born in Vladimir near Moscow in 1877 and gained recognition as a great conductor and choirmaster while leading many groups, including the Russian Choral Society Choir. By the age of 30, Chesnikov had completed nearly 400 sacred choral works, but his proliferation of church music came to a standstill at the time of the Russian Revolution. Under communist rule, no one was permitted to produce any form of sacred art. The Cathedral of Christ the Saviour, whose last choirmaster had been Chesnikov, was destroyed, which disturbed him so deeply that he stopped writing music altogether. He died on the 14th of March 1944 of a heart attack caused by malnutrition while he was waiting in a Moscow bread line. I hope you will enjoy the music as much as I do. Let thy Holy Spirit come upon us. Hallelujah.